Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And today here at Locked On Clippers, we're going to be talking about the other guys, season grades.
Yes, guys all lumped together.
Yes, who have not gotten a chance to shine yet. We're also talking Thirsty Thursday. Every single Thursday, we talk about who and what we're thirsty for, basically what we want to see more of. And then we're also going to talk about Luke Kennard, which we love to do on this podcast. So that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers. Your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome to Locked On Clips, coming at you 5 days a week, still in this offseason.
Yeah.
You can listen to us anywhere you can get podcasts. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Kill some windshield time. We come out at 7 a.m., sometimes with extra audio. Today, we're talking the other guys' season grades. And there's a lot of other guys.
Yeah.
To kind of go over. We picked people who contributed. We also picked a couple of, you know, end of the rotation guys, which, you know, they were there too for sure. It's hard sometimes, I think, with this Clippers team to remember how many people actually did play for this roster this year. We had so many holes to fill. And it just, I mean, just looking at like Basketball Reference for the roster list, you're like, oh yeah, there was a shit ton of guys who played for the Clips this year.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. So where do you want to start? We should probably start with Bledsoe, right? Like the most important kind of contributor.
I was going to say your favorite ex-Clipper of this year, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, the Bledsoe thing. I mean, he had some highlights we'll talk about in a second. We couldn't really get the spacing, I feel like, to work quite correctly with him to work in that starting unit.
Right.
It wasn't really quite right. And also, I mean, it was pretty apparent that, you know, Reggie wasn't quite the same off-ball Reggie with Bledsoe, which makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very much different...
Hard transition from what he's been doing, too.
Well, and it's just so much different playing off-ball with Kawhi and Paul George than it is playing with Eric Bledsoe.
Right.
Which isn't a knock on Bledsoe, you know, you're talking about like two top 15 guys.
Yeah, and just different.
Eric Bledsoe. Yeah, just different. And so that, I mean, I do feel like he was a bit of a victim of circumstance in that early part of the season just because, that, you know, they didn't get enough of an off season to really prepare any sort of like chemistry or continuity between those two.
Yeah.
So I think early returns, I think a lot of people were pretty down on Bledsoe, and I'll include myself in that. But once they kind of got things figured out and he became the de facto sort of leader of that second unit.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, I did think things kind of turned a corner and I did like, you know, sort of his north-south ability.
Yep.
I thought, you know, it was up and down, but I thought that he was an improved three-point shooter with the Clips.
Sure, yeah.
From where I kind of thought
took
he was
we
at.
We took advantage of some of a good year from him from outside.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, you definitely have some situations like earlier in the shot clock where you're going
to want him to shoot.
Yeah, where you're definitely going to be like questioning those types of shots. But overall, like between sort of like the energy he provided and the defense, like Bledsoe to me was an interesting piece. And it will always kind of be, I don't know about always, but it will for at least part of the year next year, depending especially on like how long it takes for things to really click.
Sure.
It'll always kind of be one of those like what could have been things.
Great Clipper player.
Yeah, yeah. With Bledsoe, you know, with the ability to have played more games with at least Paul George and, you know, ideally Paul George and Kawhi.
Yeah, he fits what the Clippers need so well. And then he went to Portland and they just didn't let him play basketball, which is very frustrating. What's your season grade on Bledsoe?
I don't know. I'm thinking probably a B. I think
I'm gonna go B plus. I'm gonna go B minus.
Yeah, I think that he like, I mean, I had some pretty lofty expectations for him.
We talked about how he might start potentially.
Yeah, totally. And you know, I already alluded to, like, I think it was partially a victim of circumstance. But I think with the improved 3-point shooting and like the defense that he was able to provide, wish we could have got a little bit more out of him in transition.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, I wish we could get more out of everybody in transition.
But, you know, also a somewhat limited sample size ish. I mean, I guess not really.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, you know, he.
The outside shooting puts him into the B for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. Serge Ibaka. Which, what a shame that this didn't work out for the Clippers.
If
you were following kind of the injury situation.
Yeah.
And some of his quotes after that, it's very clear that there was differences of opinion on how to handle his back injury. There's that video of him working out. like after a game and he had the hurt back and he has to end up getting surgery. Like, it felt like the split was kind of inevitable after that.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. There, you know, there was no real mending the situation. The only way to have addressed it would have been to do the right thing, you know, last season,
yes,
in regards to the back injury versus, you know, trying to see if he could overcome some of the pain, kind of play through that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just, it sucks because I understand the intention, you know, like if we had a healthy Surge last season, even after Kawhi goes down, I do think that makes things a little bit more interesting, even in that Sun series. And I'm not saying
absolutely
that necessarily does get out of it, but it does.
It helps us.
It does definitely help. Like, there's no way around that.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's really tough for me with Surge just because we do have the context of sort of like that, you know, difference of opinions between the training staff and like kind of what he thought was best. But there were times where he did look disengaged.
Missed a lot of shots at the rim this year.
Yeah.
For the Clippers specifically. He averaged 6-4. He only played 35 games.
Yeah, and he was kind of...
He wasn't there, it felt like. It felt like sometimes, good teammate, like he'd be hyped and stuff on the bench, but on the court it just...
He also like had some... It got better, but from when he first started in the season, like it seemed like he had some difficulty moving and stuff.
And then he got
that he normally
and
would.
He got beat out by Hart when he went down. Hart played so well,
yeah.
The writing was kind of on the wall of like, we got to give more time to this guy,
yeah. Which was an exciting development. We probably didn't talk enough about how Hart kind of beat out some people to get those minutes that he got at center,
yeah.
In his season grade, because that is pretty impressive. And then you know, I thought it was like interesting that he went to the Bucks, but with Lopez healthy, you know, he doesn't really even have as much like that much of a role there.
Yeah.
What's
your season grade on Surge?
I'm gonna have to go like C or C minus.
I was gonna go D.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's a passing grade. I mean, it is in that we passed on him.
Ooh, okay. Shots fired. Justice Winslow. You know, kind of able to carve out a role as a third center. We just didn't really need him to do that. And he was out due to some injuries.
Firmly like a C for me. Yeah, like about as expected. Like, look, I know that there were, I mean, yourself
handled the ball a bit more than I think we were. Like,
we did see point justice, which was, look, I think that there were some understandable but maybe lofty expectations for justice, including yourself.
Absolutely, 100%.
And you know, he did kind of seem,
for some reason, so hyped on Justice Winslow.
I mean, like, he kind of fits the mold of a Clippers reclamation project
for sure.
Of what we've been able to do over the last, you know, a few years. I'd say dating back to even like Pat Bev and Gallinari. You know?
Yeah, I'll take that.
But yeah, I don't know. It didn't, like, once again, a great guy, great teammate.
Yep.
But yeah, he's like kind of firmly in like that C to maybe low C category for me. It's passing, but
it's just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Xavier Moon, we're gonna talk about his interview with Andrew Greifen Shavings. He had some really cool stuff in there later. Played out 3 10-day contracts and then got a 2-way contract that expired after the season. Reggie loved him, said he kept him energized during the season. Averaged 6-1, 2.5 in 10 games for the Clips, had 17 in that 50-point win versus OKC. Man, I might give Xavier Moon, it's a very limited sample size, obviously. But what he brought and helped Reggie feel energized based on how many minutes Reggie had, I might give Xavier Moon an A.
I'll probably go B+, but I can definitely see the argument.
Great, like, vibes, guys.
This was like kind of a surprising thing of the season. And for a season that, you know, we've talked about on here that had kind of a lot of gut punches in terms of.
We pretty much just got punched in the stomach for 82 games or whatever.
Yeah. Xavier Moon was definitely like a nice development and a nice story.
Yes. The rare punch to the chest, as opposed to just the stomach.
Yeah.
Then Rodney Hood and Semi Ojeleye. These guys got a fair amount of undue hate, I think.
From you.
From me. And some other people. But, I don't know, incompletes, like...
Yeah, incompletes. I can't really give a grade on what I saw from either one of them.
It was just so frustrating to have these roster spots. We already had Brandon Boston Jr. as a spot. We had Jay Scrubb as a roster spot. Those guys weren't going to get a bunch of time. And then to have these... two guys kind of added, which is something that's rare for the Clippers, right? Usually the end of the roster guys, you're like, oh wow, this is their 15th guy or something like that.
Yeah,
it's been great, but these two, it was kind of like, come on.
Yeah,
what are we doing here?
I understand the idea, and like especially with Hood, But yeah, I just think like due to injuries and stuff, he's not really like the 3-and-D guy that he once was.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty clearly. And then right. Ogilvy, you know, Ogilvy was always just going to be a project, and
it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't really fit in with what we're trying to do.
Yes. Let us know what you think about our grades for the other guys over on at Locked On Clips. Coming up, we're going to be talking Thirsty Thursday, things we want to see more of, including some defensive stuff. And I'm tired of trade ideas. But first, we got to go shout out to Bet Online. I put a couple of bucks down on the Suns, maybe, or maybe I didn't. Who knows? They are your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and Major League Baseball. I'm going to try and start betting on the Dew Tour so you can win, you know, BMX, Big Air, all that good stuff. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering info, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. Bet Online, where the game starts.
All right, so we're back with Thirsty Thursday. Every week we talk about who and what we're thirsty for, what we want to see more of. And Chuck, you have something that you're not thirsty for. What's going on with you in trades?
I'm already tired of the trade ideas. I know we've talked about the classic, you know, Gobert to the Clippers thing. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I saw one today that was Norm and Marcus Morris for D'Angelo Russell and a second rounder.
No.
And it just made my head hurt because the D'Lo to the Clips train has kind of picked up some steam.
Why?
I'm against it. Yeah. It's not a main priority.
Yeah.
Is to have Russell on this team. And I don't want to give up Norm Powell.
I mean, like, it's hard because he was like an all-star with the Nets, but like, other than that, like, and even
he's a good player. I'm not against, but
he's just a fine player. Like, I just think like he hasn't really had a lot of like experience on winning teams.
Sure.
That's
fair.
And yeah, I just don't really see the fit. To giving be perfectly up honest.
Norm for D'Lo would make me upset.
Yeah, I just think like in terms of contracts and stuff. I mean, yeah, like more of a traditional point guard for sure, but I just don't really
like we're gonna put Reggie on the bench.
I get the feeling that like he would not be especially psyched on his role with the offense.
Right. Like, is he's starting?
I mean, yeah, he's starting, but like, you know, he's gonna get a lot less touches, a lot less field goal attempts. Yeah. Like,
he takes the ball out of our two
best
offensive players. Yeah, it's just interesting. What are you thirsty for?
Well, I'm kind of thirsty for this defensive identity from this year's squad. Like, this team has been solid defensively, but I think this year what they were able to do in the absence of Kawhi and Paul George, if they can carry that over to the great offense that we've seen, I think we're looking at something really special here.
Hell yeah.
So just going by like defensive rating, this season we did finish 8th in defensive rating. Like, things definitely went.
That's incredible.
But they did go downhill because we were like top 5 there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a crazy run.
Especially after the All-Star break. But we finished 8th, 109.5 defensive rating. And we, weirdly enough, we also finished 8th last season.
Okay.
110.6 on that defensive rating. We were 5th in defensive rating in 1920, which, you know, famously had a lot of stuff going our way before the bubble.
Yep. right.
106.9 in that season. And I say this because, like, I do think it's, like, really interesting what we were able to do shorthanded. So I do see that being, you know, to
it's some a feather level, in the cap.
To some level, like, replicable. And then you just look at, like, how big, like, coming into this season, I wasn't as worried about the offense as I probably should have been.
Sure.
Especially given like how clunky it could look even with Paul George out there.
Yeah.
But it's never really been a problem for this team before. So we did finish 25th this season in offensive rating.
Which does make sense given the personnel we had to
It absolutely makes sense. And you look at like our leading scorer and like what his field goal percentage was and everything. Yeah. I get that.
We're the 25th best offense.
But we did finish 3rd in 2021 and 2nd in 1920. So this team has always been able to score.
The blueprint for a juggernaut is very much there.
Yeah.
For this team.
Yeah, definitely. It's all there. But to maintain the same defensive rating, you know, with the shorthanded roster,
yeah,
I do think is something that has me really excited for next season.
Yes. I can't believe we finished top 10. That is such I think that's a testament to people talk about how, you know, Zoo is bad at defense, like the anti-Zoo people. He started every single game and was the starting center for a team that had 109.5 defensive rating. I'm not sure where we're finding a cheaper, better option.
Yeah.
To fit with this team and how our salaries work than Zoo as the starting center for that.
Rudy Gobert on him in.
Yeah, he foregoes his last couple of years. I'm thirsty for, want to see what we get from Terrence Mann's offseason. He alluded to it. This is his first full offseason in his career, which is pretty incredible.
Crazy.
Yes. Is a consistent mid-range jumper, not a turnaround jumper. A consistent, nice little mid-range thing, a fair thing to want to see maybe the foundation for after this offseason. That Definitely. Makes his game pretty interesting, because we already know he can get to the rim very well.
Yeah.
And if he adds just that little bit of make you think if he's going to make this, you know, 12 to whatever footer, it's a nice space to operate in.
It definitely is. Definitely is. And then, you know, you'd like to just see the good parts of his game continue to flourish, you know, like improved decision making.
Yes.
Less hesitancy on the threes. And then the big thing for me is just like rebounding, because I think that that is an interesting thing.
Yeah.
That Terrence, you know, we've seen him be a, you know, 8-9 board like per game guy, not, you know, over an entire season. But
the ability through, and the frame and everything, all the pieces are there for that.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll go through stretches where he's like really eating it up on the glass. So that is like what I would like to see from Terrence.
Yeah. That's a good call. And then finally, I'm just hyped for Kawhi's return.
Yeah.
It kind of comes in waves, because I don't forget that he plays for the Clippers, but it's a weird tenure so far in terms of like time.
I mean, just one season.
That's a long season, though.
That's true.
And like you said, there were so many gut punches that it was like, it's almost like you forget that you're getting punched in the gut while someone's also like standing on your head or something like that.
Yeah, also so curious to see like what he's going to look like, because
he looks like he's gotten a little big, like strength-wise. I'm not, like, obviously not out of shape, but like, yeah, he's put always, on some mass.
Yeah, he's always been like such a strong guy. Like, that's what so many people who, you know, regularly defend him will talk about.
Yeah, he's just a big human who's, yeah.
Yeah, he's like very hard to match up against. So that is definitely pretty scary. Scary for opposing teams. Also, like, just with this injury, you know, like, it wasn't the full tear, but they repaired it as such.
Of course. Love that.
Yeah. Like, so I'm kind of curious to see like what that means for, you know, like his movement, and certainly
we've seen some jab step.
I was going to say, and certainly like his jab step, and sort of like, you know, just the style that Kawhi plays is such like a, it's like a pounding. Kind
it's a
of,
get to your spot. It's like a steamroller almost. It's just get to my spot. He's very athletic. He is very fast, but his game isn't predicated on that kind of athleticism.
Yeah.
Everybody
watch Game 6 highlights, Kawhi versus the Mavericks.
Yeah, it's, man. Yeah, go do that right now. Let us know what you're thirsty for over at Locked On Clips. Coming up, we're talking the Q&A between Andrew Greif and Xavier Moon in the LA Times. Go read the whole thing while you have a chance. But first, Will, if I had something up with my car, where could I get new parts for it?
So you can get new parts at Rock Auto. This episode is actually brought to you by Rock Auto. Look, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why would you want to choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Example, you're just run-of-the-mill Honda Odyssey fuel pump.
Okay.
$353 from a chain store. Cool, $216 from Rock Auto.
Not
Look,
bad.
Rock Auto is also a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. The Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. So go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, welcome to Shavings. Talking a whole bunch of stuff, talking a great Q&A between Andrew Greif and Xavier Moon in the LA Times. We already gave Xavier Moon an A One of us did. For his season grade. What's crazy about Xavier Moon, I didn't know this, he was initially signed to play in Italy this season, and he bought out his contract last summer after receiving interest from G League teams.
The Pat Bev move.
Yes, before landing with the AC Clippers.
Wow.
We had like a couple bet on yourself guys this year with him and Hart, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, love it.
Kind of this little ethos the Clippers have going there. He had some contact with the Suns before he signed his two-way, which has me thinking, are the Suns now in the, if this team is interested in him, he's probably pretty solid category with kind of fringe guys?
Could be, yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. I think if the Suns are interested in a guy, it's fair to be like, oh, maybe if the Clippers are also taking a look at him, we're not mad at that, right? Like, it's how the Warriors were looking at Hart and all other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're in that category now.
Yeah, there's definitely something there.
Clippers assistant coach Larry Drew called Xavier Moon the most instinctive point guard he's ever seen.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. Moon said, you don't have to teach me a lot of stuff because I already know how to set guys up. I know how to set up their cuts. I know when to pass them the ball and where they want it. It's just awesome to see him kind of getting this chance to succeed. And, you know, Ty Lue was great. He said he called Xavier Moon the night before a game and said, we're going to play you tomorrow. I don't want you to walk on eggshells, play free, run the team. You know the plays. You know what to do. Play how you play in the G League. And Xavier Moon talked about how any coach that gives their players that level of confidence is easy to play for, which just has me more hyped on how good of a coach Ty Lue is for this Clippers team and for these kind of fringe guys that we've seen all year. Just kind of getting this kind of support and like openness to play how they feel comfortable to play. Which had me thinking, what does Ty Lue have to do to get Coach of the Year next year? Because I do feel like sometimes with Coach of the year before
has
a bit of a factor to it, and he had a bit of juice for it this year, but Clips got to what? Be a 1 or 2 seed?
Top of the pack div.
I would love it if, yeah, I think it's a 1 or 2 seed for Ty Lue to get Coach of the Year.
Yeah, probably.
And, you know, heaven hope that nothing crazy happens. If something does crazy happen, we'd have to be a 4 seed.
Yes.
And then, yeah. Ty Lue for Coach Lee. Let's start it right now. We're starting it in May. Xavier Moon talked about the vets helping keep the locker room going this season, and he listed off Morris, Reggie, and Luke.
Oh, wow.
Is it kind of surprising? Not in a bad way to see Luke mentioned as, like, one of the vets and, like, being vocal in the locker room. I guess I've just never heard anything like that before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely reassuring. It's a great thing to hear. And especially as Luke is like constantly, you know, entangled in sort of these trade talks that you're sick of hearing about.
Entangled, yeah.
It's another one of those considerations that, like, yes, I mean, like, he is kind of, his skill set, you know, doesn't necessarily cast a wide net, right?
Yeah.
But there are other things that he provides, you know, both to this bench and in this locker room that are important.
Yeah, shout out Luke. Go check out, there's a bunch more great stuff in that interview. Go check it out over at LA Times. Support the local beat writers, please.
Absolutely.
Bally Sports is redoing their streaming.
Okay.
Bally Sports streaming service will be called Bally Sports Plus. Very original. Sinclair CEO Chris Ripley said that. He said it's going to cost $20 a month or $189 annually. This kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's not great.
Bally's a bad service.
Yeah, they have all sorts of errors and stuff. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I like, it sucks because you just don't necessarily have a whole lot of options.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, obviously that's by design.
The system is not designed for us.
Yeah, it's a shitty way to do business in 2022.
For sure. And as someone who's never illegally downloaded anything or streamed anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know where to turn. And then finally, Robert Covington was on the Clippers Wallpaper Wednesday designs today.
Okay.
Is this a sign he's coming back?
It's good news, I will say that.
They're not putting a guy on there who's not coming back, right?
No.
Well, Clippers marketing might, based on how they do things. Shout out Robert Covington, hope he comes back. Will, anything else in shavings?
Nah, let's get on out of here.
Let's get on out of here. We hope you have a fantastic Thursday. Friday's episode, we got Justin Russo. joining the pod.
JR.
We are definitely going to talk about the time he had to wear sunglasses to the game. We're going to be playing Love, Marry, Quarantine, and of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, if someone wanted to review this podcast and give us a season grade, where could they possibly do that?
So you can review us, leave us a little season grade over at Apple Podcasts or on the podcast app. You can also do it on Spotify. You can listen to us on either one of those platforms. You can also listen to us on Google Podcasts. We're on Amazon Music. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. Basically, anywhere you get your podcasts, you mm-hmm. can get this show. I think we mentioned it up top, but we do come at you Monday through Friday.
We did.
7 a.m. Pacific. So yeah, stay with us here. We're still coming at you 5 days a week.
Still coming at you 5 days a week. Maybe an announcement next week. Who knows? I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. And as always, we appreciate you.